Hello and welcome, and thanks for joining us again today for another episode of A Course in Miracles Workbook Lessons. This is your host, Brother T. Glad to be back with you here. We are on blogtalkradio.com/CourseMastery, and this is the best hour. I'm joined by my beautiful wife, Reverend A. Good morning.
Good morning. We can also be found at truthought.org.
We can, absolutely, and that's our ministry, True Thought Spiritual Community. You're welcome to join us there. That's truthought.org. And we do post these workbook lessons and other content there, along with our weekly videos and things that we do on YouTube for our community. So we hope you'll join us there, and you can also join our mailing list there. So God bless you for being with us. Thanks so much. We appreciate you. Before we begin, let's take a brief moment here and join together in a moment of silence. Let's take a good deep breath. Lesson 3. I do not understand anything I see in this room, on this street, from this window, in this place.
Apply this idea in the same way as the previous ones, without making distinctions of any kind. Whatever you see becomes a proper subject for applying the idea. Be sure that you do not question the suitability of anything for the application of the idea. These are not exercises in judgment. Anything is suitable if you see it. Some of the things you see may have emotionally charged meaning for you. Try to lay such feelings aside and merely use these things exactly as you would anything else.
The point of the exercises is to help you clear your mind of all past associations, to see things exactly as they appear to you now, and to realize how little you really do understand about them. It's therefore essential that you keep a perfectly open mind, unhampered by judgment, in selecting the things to which the idea for the day is to be applied. For this purpose, one thing is like another, equally suitable and therefore equally useful.
I do not understand anything I see in this room, on this street, from this window, in this place.
And so it is. Let's join together again for another brief moment of silence. Let's take another good deep breath. Just a couple of months back, I was listening to a teacher who was trying to explain, I think he was using the explanation in consideration of an economic model. He was trying to explain, you know, an economy and how an economy works. But he shared a recording of this story that had been told about what it takes to create a pencil. And it's unbelievable. All of the people and the tools and the locations around the world where a particular wood has to be grown and harvested and then milled and ultimately shipped to a place under certain specifications so that it can be utilized to make a pencil. And then the process of collecting the graphite and then, you know, processing that component of the pencil, and then the process of putting that all together, and then the painting of the pencil, the shaping of the pencil, the cutting of the wood, the work to, you know, save the material, you know, to get the most efficient use of the raw materials, the hours and hours and literally thousands of people that go into manufacturing a silly little pencil like one I use when I go golfing. They got those little short pencils and they're in the golf cart. Literally hundreds of thousands of hours of labor and engineering and ingenuity and the creation of tools and people around the world that come together, and they do this all literally for the most part, unconnected with each other as far as they're concerned. They don't know, you know, like the people that are manufacturing the wood don't necessarily know the people that are doing the graphite or the final distribution, the sales and marketing teams, and all the things that go into that simple item like a pencil. So when we start considering some of those things, we really can see that we are giving everything meaning, but our definition and our meaning of the things that we see around us, even in this moment, is very limited as to how they even came into existence, other than they're just where they are, and it's something that we bought or something somebody gifted us with, somebody donated to us, or we inherited or whatever, and came to us sometimes by accident, and has some particular meaning for us in our life. And so, again, this lesson number 3 is also a companion lesson, as he points out, to the first 2 lessons. I really don't understand anything that I see. Our universe is billions of years old. I mean, how did this all come together? How can I really say I truly do understand anything in form anywhere near well enough to give it any particular meaning other than something that truly is fairly selfish on my part, or something I've agreed to with other people as to what something means in my experience?
It can be very disconcerting to arrive at the first few lessons of A Course in Miracles, whose goal is unlearning.
It is.
Yeah. Most of us have spent so much time and energy learning, and we pride ourselves on what we believe that we know.
Big time.
And what we believe we understand. And so these first few lessons really are, while I do view them as gentle, remembering back to the first time I ever did these lessons was quite disconcerting to the aspect of self I call the ego mind. Mm-hmm. And the ego does not want to say it does not understand something. I know for myself, you know, when people ask me a question, there have been periods in my life where I will just grasp to answer the question, thinking, well, they've asked me the question. They must think I know, and I must know. And so then I kind of tap dance around and try to answer it. There does come a piece of just saying, I don't know.
Yeah. And we rarely do that.
Yeah.
Usually just make shit up.
Exactly. We kind of play that, Tony and I, Brother T and I, when we go on our walks, we kind of, you know, make up little scenarios, or we might, you know, catch ourselves judging. And this is clearly the instruction says this is not an exercise in judgment.
Yeah.
But that's what we're doing all the time.
All the time. Yeah. And but so we'll say that's what the ego does all
exactly,
the time.
Exactly.
So he's trying to help us to see that that's the ego. But that's what it does.
But sometimes you and I will look at a scene and there might be people in it and we'll be like, well, clearly here's what's going on over there. And
right. And
then I look at it and I'll laugh and I'll say, well, here's what I think's going on over there. And you can really be playful with this whole idea,
yep. But
there is a certain sense of peace and unburdening with, I don't understand anything I see in this room.
Yeah.
And what we're doing is really creating a spaciousness to allow the mind that does know, you know, at some point during these lessons to step in. But right now we're creating that clearing.
Yeah. And I think kind of stepping back to beginning to see that I can watch my thoughts,
mm-hmm.
rather than just being in, you know, attached to them and saying, oh, this is my thought, and going down that rabbit hole or following that trail, mm-hmm. of drama, typically, you know, mm-hmm. that we do have the power. And I think that's what these lessons are, you know, leading us to, even if it's unconsciously or unspoken at this point, is to kind of step back a little bit from the thinking mind and begin to observe it.
Right. So practice well today, practice this. I do not understand anything I see in this room. on the street, from this window, in this place. I do not understand anything I see. Mm-hmm. And you can watch and observe.
Yeah, and have some fun.
What your response and reaction might be to that.
That's right.
But practice as indiscriminately as possible and have fun, as you said.
Fun.
Yeah. Okay.
I do not understand anything I see in this room. And so it is. Have a great day. Have a blessed day. And stay the course.
Forgive us our illusions, Father, and help us to accept our true relationship with you, in which there are no illusions and where none can ever enter. Our holiness is yours. What can there be in us that needs forgiveness when yours is perfect? The sleep of forgetfulness is only the unwillingness to remember your forgiveness and your love. Let us not wander into temptation, for the temptation of the Son of God is not your will. And let us receive only what you have given, and accept but this into the minds which you created and which you love. Amen.
I send my love over the mountains. I send my love over the sea. I send my love into the heavens and in